Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Dance, dance. Episode 21 is upon us. First of all, I would like to apologize for my audio in the last episode. There was some bumping. There was some bumping and grinding. I listened to it after I recorded it, but what am I going to record it all again? That toilet story is a flash in a pan. It's a shooting star. It's a firefly that can't be caught and contained. And I was holding the microphone. Listen, my microphone is attached to a contraption that has one of those circular disc breath breakers, wind breakers in front of. I don't know what anything is called really in the whole world. But anyway, it's a bunch of metal and plastic all jammed together. And I was holding the whole thing and moving about, and there was a lot of bumping. Listen, maybe I got a comment or two on my audio from the last one. Maybe, honestly, one person told me to raise my gain or some horseshit. To that I would say, how about raise your volume? How about pump up the volume? So now what I'm doing is I've taken the microphone out of the big metal contraption that has the windbreaker, and hopefully it'll sound fine. And if not, I'll look into getting a new microphone. But in the meantime, can you guys just fucking deal with it? Christ's sake. Episode 21. The Deion Sanders, the Prime episode. And look, we are now, I believe this is part 5 of my Party Angel Tour story podcast. And we're still in my first run of shows in March. So I am going to just, I'm going to talk about all the rest of the shows and experiences I had in this first chunk in March. Because I can't, how many parts can I really break this tour into? We're on part 5 already. So I'm just going to cruise through, and however long it takes is however long it takes. I had to pause Butcher's Crossing to record this. I want you to know the sacrifice I've made to record episode 21. I had to pause Hulu's Butcher's Crossing, which is a 2023 Nicolas Cage film. And I'm 55 minutes and 22 seconds into it. And boy, it's just Nicolas Cage. He's hunting buffalo in the 1870s. Truly mowing down buffalo. Bison, really. And there is a difference. Though in America, it's acceptable to say either. Truly it is. Truly they are bison is what we know. You know those big things on the plains with horns? Those are bison. They call them buffalo in the movie and in most of conversation, as you may have noticed. But really it's not true. Whatever they are, he's mowing them down and he's cutting off the hides, and he's about to go back into town and make a killing. No one believed that Nicolas Cage could mow down this many buffalo. And if you're gonna watch it, yeah, maybe I'm spoiling. But we're only 55 minutes in and there's 52 minutes left. So shit's about to go down. I thought the culmination of this movie would be him finally reaching the buffalo, and it was a told-you-so moment. Look at all these buffalo that no one believed existed. Bison, truly. But that's not the climax. This is kind of a second-act situation here. Nicolas Cage, and he's bald, and he has a black beard. I'll watch anything Nicolas Cage is in. I love Nicolas Cage. I love the classics. I love Nicolas Cage. I love Brad Pitt. I love Tom Cruise. When people are like, my favorite actor is Jesse Plemons, I'm like, okay. Have you heard of Nicolas Cage and Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise? People such as that? You nerd. But anyway, I paused that to record episode 21. As you may recall, last episode ended. Oh boy, did I ruin that toilet. Listen, maybe I ruined a toilet in Hannibal, Missouri. What I forgot to tell you is when I went to bed that night, I had my second major middle-of-the-night freak-out panic attack after having driven a long way and sucked down a couple of Celsiuses. And same exact thing. Went to bed, about an hour later, wake up in a panic, sweating, heart racing, panting, very paranoid, not sure what I'm paranoid about, kind of paranoid, scared of my own brain, demons and ghosts, like, in my head. And from this point forward, I decided to just swear off Celsius. And I'm sorry to Celsius, and I'm sorry to those who love Celsius. I'm sure it's a fine drink to just have, you know, one on a decent amount of rest. But two Celsiuses and a coffee, running on very little sleep and driving 9 or 10 hours, it wasn't working out for me. I swore off the Celsius. I hope I don't lose Celsius as a sponsor. They've been giving me a lot of money. Celsius has been giving me $15,000 per episode of Laser Show. And I really hope I don't lose that. But perhaps I can be sponsored by Good Time Weed Infusion, which is just like a weed, just like a cannabis liquid that you put into whatever you're drinking. And then whatever you're drinking, you get high. So maybe they can sponsor me because I am drinking it currently and it is delicious. But I wake up in Hannibal and I drive now on March 3rd, 19th, to Moline, Illinois. Do you guys know it? You guys ever heard of Moline, Illinois? It's one of the Quad Cities. Moline is one of the Quad Cities, and the Quad Cities include Moline, Illinois, Davenport, Iowa. So there's this river that runs north-south between Iowa and Illinois, and there's a collection of cities right along this river on each side. Davenport, Iowa, which will also be included later in this episode. Moline, Illinois, Rock City, Illinois, or Iowa, I think Illinois, and then a fourth one that I don't remember. Four cities, and by the grace of God above, I was able to perform at two of the four Quad Cities, half of the Quad Cities in a single week, just by sheer happenstance, just by sheer tyranny of will. But the first one I do is Moline, Illinois. Now, I booked this show in Moline, Illinois a long time ago, I'll be honest. I booked a show in Davenport, Iowa in December, and I had to cancel it because I booked three lines on Abbott Elementary. Did you guys see it? I have three lines in Abbott Elementary in Season 3, Episode 2. And so I had to cancel some shows. But originally I had a Davenport show booked, and then this fellow named Ronnie reached out, and he goes, "Hey, I've been doing some shows in Moline. It's right across the river. It is, in fact, one of the Quad Cities. Would you like to tack a Moline show onto this while you're going to be in Davenport?" And I says to him, I say, "Hey, buddy, listen, I don't think it's right to, do two separate shows right by each other. I don't want to take any audience away from the Davenport show. So maybe let's just like push the Moline show back a few months. That way it's, you know, some clubs don't even let you perform within like an hour radius within like 3 or 6 months. So that's kind of what I was thinking. And he said, "Okay, that makes sense. Let's do March." We booked the show in March, Moline, March 19th. Bada bing, bada boom. Here I am. I booked my show on March 19th. Who reaches out but the Davenport, Iowa show and says, "Listen, you're doing this show in Moline. Let's just come do the Davenport show." So I did end up just doing the two shows back to back anyway. And guess what? Both sold out. Highly recommend performing at tiny little venues. Both sold out. They had to get extra seats. at both. But I do Moline. It's in a place called the Black Hawk Room. The Black Cock Room. And boy, oh boy, for a city I've never heard of, did I ever have some of my top fans came out. We're talking top fans. We're talking Caitlin. What's up, Caitlin? You might remember Caitlin as one of my top fans. This is now the third city she's come to see me in. She's heard a lot of the same jokes a few times now. And Caitlin is famously the only person who has ever brought me a Fabergé egg on tour. What the hell are the rest of you doing? Just get a Fabergé egg from the internet and bring it to me. If you listen to the, if you come up to me at a show and go, I love the podcast, I'm going to go, well, then where's your Fabergé egg? You goof. And I also will accept t-shirts, size medium, or any other small gift I can fit in. I love receiving just cool little gifts. Something about your town. Give me something from your town or a Fabergé egg. Caitlin, I have no idea where Caitlin lives. I'm sorry, Caitlin, you've told me a few times and I forget. Somewhere that's driving distance to St. Charles, Missouri, and Mahomet, Illinois, and Moline, Illinois. Oh, she's from Peoria area. And I know this because guess what? Guess what she did that none of the rest of you fuckers are doing? She brought me a second gift. She brought me a t-shirt size medium. She listens to the podcast. She makes it to the Elk. Caitlin brought me a t-shirt that says the Peoria Penicillin, which is a minor league baseball team, is the Peoria something. And then once a season, they do like a themed night. Much like my very own Pawtucket Red Sox. And I refuse to call them the Worcester Red Sox, the Woo Sox, who stole my AAA affiliate, Pawtucket Red Sox, and moved them to Worcester. How can you do that? How can you spurn McCoy Stadium? I have not been to the new Worcester site, and I don't plan on it. But the Pawtucket Red Sox was a Boston Red Sox affiliate, and they did a one night that was, they were the Pawtucket Hot Wieners. Because Rhode Island, of course, as you know, is known for their hot wieners. So I have a Pawtucket Hot Wieners shirt. If you've ever seen me in any of my sketches or anything wearing a Pawtucket Hot Wieners shirt, that's what that is. And Caitlin gave me the equivalent. The Peoria, I don't know what their normal name is. But they did a... So penicillin was discovered or created. Or at least the creator was born. One of those things. In Peoria, Illinois. And also, later on, I would, on my drive home after the end of this tour, or drive back to the airport, I drove through Peoria, Illinois. Pretty little town. Pretty little town. I drove through some random pretty little towns. Dubuque, Iowa? Who the hell would have thought Dubuque, Iowa would be such a pretty little town? I didn't know Iowa had any pretty little towns. And no offense, Iowa's just very flat. And pretty boring. And man, I drove through Dubuque and I went and I started Googling Dubuque comedy clubs. I was like, I want to come back here. What a cool little manufacturing looking stone and brick right on a hill, right on the river by the bridge looking town. Everything all packed in there. Cool little town I drove through. But Caitlin brought me a t-shirt. Thank you, Caitlin. I will post a picture of the t-shirt and a cool picture that me and Caitlin took on Instagram. And I also, guess who else came? So there's this couple that came to see me at a show in Asheville, North Carolina. Their names are Brian and Vera. And they came to a show in Asheville. And this was on my tour where I lost my suitcase. Remember that? So they saw me at my, and they came to see me on this show and I had lost my wallet. Every time these people see me, I'm really down and out. So they came and it was Brian's 50th birthday. So they brought a party bus. A party bus full of 20 people, 18 people. I'm going to be honest, it was 18 people. To this show. And it was a really cool party bus. It wasn't like your regular just black party bus. It was like a, it was a bus. It was a bus. Like a school bus that had been painted. And they bring this bus to an annual bike-a-thon in Iowa City, I believe it is. Very cool bus, very cool inside. They let me inside. These people came for Brian's. This is how Brian wanted to spend his birthday, with old Rye, seeing the same jokes that, I had a couple new ones. They packed this place out as much as it could be. Oh, Ronnie was stressed. Ronnie was stressed. He did not know there was going to be 35, 40 people at this show. We packed this fucker out, didn't we, Ronnie? Show was great. Really, really front-loaded this tour with good shows. And I'm staring down the barrel of these May shows coming up, and yikes. We'll get to that later. Please come see me on the road. Please. Some of these ticket sales are harrowing. Go on the party bus, beautiful party bus, drinking on the party bus. Hang out all night. Happy birthday, Brian. And then after I go back to my hotel and it's late and I'm drunk and I'm walking past the two people at the front desk, two very young people, boy and a girl, and they are like, boy, they are like early 20s. And they're just eating pizza. And the guy says, "You look like you had a good night." Jeez. I say, "I sure did." And so I saunter over to them. It is like 2 in the morning. I drunkenly saunter over. And we just start talking. Because I am so damn friendly when I'm drunk. And I'm a real mean piece of shit when I'm sober. But we are talking and I'm telling them about the tour and whatever. And I tell them that, hey, in a couple days, I'm actually going to be performing across the river at one of the other Quad Cities, at the Renwick Mansion in Davenport. And I'm scared because it's famously a haunted mansion. And I have seen video proof of a ghost, what I believe to be a ghost. I had another comic friend do a show there, and he's like a ghost hunter. And he had one of those electronic things that picks up when a ghost talks, and he like picked up like a ghost talking and sent me the video, and that happened to have happened in the room that I was staying in. This was a few years ago, and that night I did not sleep at all. I stayed up all night with all the lights on. I was really scared. They put me up on the third floor, which was the entire floor. First floor is where they do the show. Second floor is like 8 rooms. Then the third floor is just the entire open floor plan. And they put me in there, and I was really scared. That was way too much space for a room that I now know has a ghost in it. So I was telling them about how scared I was of ghosts, and we just started talking about ghosts. And this guy's really into ghosts. The girl's like, "You want some pizza?" I'm like, "I would love some pizza, yeah." They had just ordered pizza. Like Domino's pizza. And they gave me a slice of pizza. And we're just standing at the hotel front desk talking. And it comes up that I'm doing comedy at some point. And they said, "Oh, okay, you're here for the show." And I'm like, "Yeah, I have tour posters." They're like, "I want a tour poster." So I go out to my car and I give them a tour poster. I gave them each a tour poster. Who knows what they did with it. But I hung out with these two people for an hour. Just standing at the front desk. Yapping and eating pizza. And I was like, I have got to go to bed. Went to bed. When I woke up in the morning, there was a different person at the front desk. Middle-aged black woman. I walked out and I'm checking out. I go, "Hey, I'm checking out of this room." And she looked at her computer. And she goes, "Mr. O'Flanagan?" I go, "Yep." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, the other people last night were there." Or she goes, "Oh, you got the whole staff talking about you." And I was like, "Oh, I guess I made quite an impression." drunkenly blabbering at these folks till 3 a.m. Like, oh, got the whole staff's talking about you. Made quite an impression in Moline. And from Moline, I head north to 3 shows in Wisconsin. 2 in Eau Claire and 1 in Chippewa Falls. These are now, I'm now getting into the shows that I had to cancel for Abbott Elementary. But my first show in Eau Claire is my very, as far as I can recall, my very first corporate show. I had never done a corporate show, I don't think. I forget everything. I don't remember major things that have happened in my life. I don't remember what's even gone on in Butcher's Crossing. I forget. But I did a show for the Mayo Clinic, and it was a bunch of nurses. It was about 100 nurses and a couple of social workers. And it was like 98 women and 2 men. And it was just at this, in this banquet room. And this show was gotten by the guy who booked the club that I would do the next day. So I trusted this guy, and it paid pretty well. But it was a 6 p.m. show. The sun was high in the sky. And we're in this ballroom. No one really seems to know what's going on. There's it's just this carpeted ballroom, and there's round tables. And the nurses had just had their like a nurse dinner. And they have dinner and then a Ryan O'Flanagan set. No other comics, just me, doing 45 minutes of comedy. And the head woman, they all have their dinner, and then it's time to bring me up. And so I just, like, walk into this room, and everyone's just kind of sitting there, hanging out, talking. And the woman goes over to a podium. And they have a podium in front, in the front of the room. And she starts, you know, she's not an MC. That's just not her job. She's a nurse. Or a leader of nurses, at least. And she starts, she goes up to the podium, and they have a little microphone in the podium. And she starts just reading my full bio from my website, which is just like everything about me. It's all of my credits. And usually when you bring a comic up for a set, they go, hey, you've seen this guy on Comedy Central. You've seen him on New Girl and Abbott Elementary and the Laser Show podcast. Please welcome Ryan O'Flanagan. But this woman from just read beginning to end my bio, and it was taking so long, and it was very uncomfortable. And it's, eventually I had to just, once she got to, this is an old bio too. I think I took this part out because it's embarrassing now, but she goes, his sketch group, Dead Kevin, was one of LA Weekly's top comedy acts to watch in 2013. Which I just recently took that out because I can't have stats and accolades from 2013 in my bio. And once she said 2013, I just went, okay. And I just kind of gave her the let's cut it off signal. She goes, is that good? And I was like, yeah. Once we get down to 2013, I think let's stop doing my bio. And so I went up and I did 45 minutes for these nurses, and they were very nice. They were very polite. Some of them laughed. It was like a very, it was just like a pleasant time. You know, if I had gotten this amount of laughter in like a comedy club, I think I would have felt pretty bad. But for a 6 p.m., very brightly lit room with a bunch of nurses that are just, this is not like a comedy club crowd. I think I did pretty good. I did fine. Only like 2 of them bought any koozies. For some reason, the yummy little ass koozies were not a huge hit with the nurses. But I felt fine about the show. And the next night, oh boy, the crown jewel, The Plus. The Plus is a club in Eau Claire. It's a bar. But it's one of my favorite venues in all of these United States, and I highly recommend it. They do shows, I believe, every Thursday night. And I've now done this club 3 times, and every single time it's packed to the gills. and they love me at the Plus. I think they just love comedy. I don't think they love me. But there was, I feel like a king when I perform at this place. They packed it out. They just laugh at every fucking joke. And they laugh so hard. And it's, some clubs are just good and some clubs just aren't. Some crowds are good and some crowds aren't. But every time at the Plus, I'm like, you guys get this joke. I mean, just about every joke just hits. It's just a perfect environment that's been created by Cullen. Cullen runs things. And this was the crown jewel of my whole run of, at least the run of March shows. I was so looking forward to the Plus, and I had to cancel it for Abbott. So this was me returning. And they were like almost sold out when I had to cancel it, so I felt really bad. Cullen says, we are devastated. I texted him, like, I'm so sorry, I have to cancel. I got a role on Abbott Elementary. He goes, I get it. I'm happy for you. We are devastated. Cullen, you're so dramatic. After the show, we get absolutely, positively rip-roaring drunk, and I stay up till 5 a.m. Also, this was the venue where I put the pillow man in my window, which is going to be a regular thing now. What joy that brought me. My hotel room happened to overlook the club. I happened to be on that side of the hotel, on the very top floor, or one of the top floors. And so I made a man out of a hoodie and some pillows, and I put him in my window. And at night, and I honestly forgot about him till the middle of my set. I go, oh shit, you know what? When you leave here tonight, look up at the hotel across the street. I made a guy in my window, and I didn't know what it would look like. And after the show, as I'm slinging merch, I go, oh my God, can you guys hold on for a second? I gotta go check on this pillow man. And it looked great. Oh man, it looked funny. This is going to be a recurring thing in my hotel life now. Should my room look over a public area, as it was overlooking downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin on this night? One guy actually came up to me and he goes, dude, when I pulled up to come to the show, I saw that in the window and I took a picture of it, not knowing what it was. And then you started talking about it on stage. And I was like, no way. That's his room? So he got a really cool broad daylight picture of it, which is cool because I did put sunglasses on his face, which you couldn't see at night. But I'll include the pillow man in my Instagram post. You gotta see it. The next night, I do a show in Chippewa Falls, which is only like 20 minutes away. I thought to myself, from Eau Claire, there's no need to do a show 20 minutes away from Eau Claire. I'm doing a show in Eau Claire. Everyone just come to Eau Claire. But honestly, a bunch of people came. Like 80 people came to Chippewa Falls. And this was, I would say, my most hungover. Cullen and I were both profoundly hungover. It's the worst I felt physically at a show. And then I stayed late. A couple of really cool, nice fans, big fans came. And Chippewa Falls, who the fuck? Some of these places, man. I'll find just the sweetest, nicest people that have been following me for so long. And they just live in, they're like, nah, Chippewa Falls is actually the big city from, we live wherever, in the sticks or whatever. But we love you. And it always makes me feel good as hell. So I stayed for a while after the show in Chippewa Falls, hung out with some folks. And I says, I was hanging out with one of the bartenders. She was the bartender from the show. This poor girl, she was so stressed. She was the only bartender upstairs where the show was. And she was stressed to the gills. Because more people came than any of us could have expected. I don't know what happened. Very cool bar. The view on Lake Wissota. And they have like games downstairs. Claw games. Things such as this. That's where I made out with the... This is where I made out with the pirate statue, if you saw that on my Instagram stories. I wasn't actually romantically interested in him. It was just as a joke to be funny. It was just as a joke. It was like a Captain Morgan life-size statue. that I made out with tongue and all. But I knew it wasn't a real guy. Just so you know, I didn't think that was some cool guy named Chad. I was doing it basically as a joke to be funny. But then I says to the bartender, I said, "Hey, I can't drink Celsius ever again. And I have 8 Celsiuses left in my car. Do you want them?" She goes, "Yeah." So I gave her 8 Celsiuses. Following this show, I go straight back down, motherfuckers, to the Quad Cities for the show in Davenport. My final show of this long, long run where I have lost my wallet. What a couple of weeks it's been. And I wrap up in Davenport, which is a show at the Haunted Mansion. A show that I've done before and I know is good. I did it in the middle of COVID, actually. I did it in October of 2020. And so they had to do the show outdoors. And it was freezing. And I was talking to the owner of the place, Dane. I was telling him how scared I was. I was considering getting a hotel instead of staying at the mansion where they let you stay for free. Because I'm pretty scared of ghosts. I really don't mess with ghosts. And so I was telling him, yeah, last time when I was in that upstairs room, and I was so scared because that's the room where the ghost was. And he was like, "Man, I thought I was hooking you up, doing you a favor, giving you the entire third floor." I was like, "No, I'd rather just have like a small, regular-sized room on the second floor." So that's what I did this time. This show sold out, packed to the gills. They had to move a bunch of furniture and shit around. They had to move the bar to another area. Because there were so many damn people came to this show. Show was sick. This was a Saturday night in Davenport. Show was tight as hell. And after the show, when I tell you that Davenport, Iowa parties. Davenport, Iowa parties. A lot of these Midwestern places, they go pretty hard. I live in LA, and yeah, we got cool, bougie nightclubs and whatever. But give me a Davenport, Iowa party any day. Because we went out, I mean, there was truly a group of like 20 of us. Me, some of the other comics, owner of the place. Other comics that had just come to check out the show, some audience members. We went to downtown Davenport, and we bar hopped in downtown Davenport. We're talking, we went to like a fucking, this cool bar that had karaoke downstairs and then just a fucking dance club upstairs. And we just danced. People that just don't dance. This one guy, he's affiliated with the Renway, I don't know, I forget if he's a comic or what, but he brought his parents. I mean, these are people in their 70s, came with us to this loud, bumping dance bar. Not only that, but after that, we went to a second bar, and they came with us to the second bar. And I'm seeing people at these bars that I recognize from the show, and I'm going hanging out with them. Everyone went out to downtown. Oh, and guess who else came? Brian and Vera, of course. They were already in the Quad City area anyway. So they came to 2 shows in a 4-day span, and I did the exact same set. And I think it's very sweet when people come to see me, like, multiple times, especially in, like, I've had people come to, I do 2 shows in a night, and they come to both shows. Caitlin did that once in St. Charles. And I really appreciate it, but just so you know, if you're thinking of doing that, I'm going to do, like, the exact same set. I'll try to switch it up a little bit. Sometimes I do. It really depends how drunk I am. If I'm hammer drunk, it could truly be a totally different set, but I doubt it. If I'm getting goofy as hell, maybe it'll be different. But for the most part, it's going to be exactly the same. So I am just a little bit, I do feel a little bit of embarrassment when I do. Got back-to-back sets for even just a couple people. And the rest of the crowd, they don't know these jokes, but these few people do. And I'm like, oh, no, they know. They can see through the facade. But good God, did we get rip-roaring drunk in Davenport. And then, of course, Afties, baby. Afties. the owner of the mansion is hanging out with us. He says, we're going back to the mansion. And we went back to the mansion where the show had happened, and the mic was still on. So we were just playing songs on our phones and doing karaoke. And there's only like six of us. And it was just such a wonderful, wonderful fucking night. It was one of those nights that made me feel good just about life. Like, I'm not really performing in huge venues, big theaters, but I'm performing at places that are fun as fuck. And I feel very lucky to be in the rotation at places like the Renwick Mansion in Davenport and the Plus in Eau Claire and places like that. That, yeah, they're not 500-seat venues, but the owners are super cool. And they not only are they cool and will and book me on the show, but they'll also hang out with me after. Those are the kind of places I want to perform at. And that's why I feel like I'm pretty comfortable in the state of my career that I'm in right now. I see comics that I came up with who are just selling out arenas and stuff, and that shit, it would stress me out. I get pretty stressed out doing the shows that I have to do now for 30 people. I can't imagine, like, blowing up. So don't feel bad for me that I'm not crushing it career-wise. I'm in a good, happy place, I think. I get to do the fucking Renwick Mansion on a Saturday night. I mean, this run of shows, Eau Claire, Davenport, Hannibal, Missouri. This was just a really fucking fun week. Chippewa Falls was sick. Moline was sick. And they're all just, yeah, less than 100 people come to them. But I get paid and I feel great about myself. Then people buy my merch. So that was a really great stretch. And boy, is there a really not so great stretch coming up. Believe me, I am seeing the ticket sales for these May shows. I worry all the good shows happened in March. But anyway, so that was the end of that a two-week run where I lose my wallet and everything. And so then I go back. I'm back home for a few days, and then the next weekend I have to go straight to a weekend of shows in Arizona. And to close out my March shows, and I rented a car and I drove to, it's like right outside, it's in Glendale, Arizona, it was the Phoenix area. And I had to rent a car. I sold my car, mostly out of brokenness. But so I had to rent a car, and then this girl that was renting me the car, I was just telling her that I was going to Phoenix. And she goes, you're going to Phoenix? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, oh, our cars can't go to Arizona. And I was like, what does that mean? She was like, yeah, our cars can only go to California and Nevada. She didn't say Nevada. She said Nevada. She doesn't know that that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. She was a fucking an ignorant fool. And I was like, wait, what do you, so I can't have this car? And she was like, so what you can do is you can call Expedia. I booked through Expedia. She goes, call Expedia, tell them you didn't pick the car up, and they'll give you a full refund. And I said, wait, so you're just not going to give me this car? Because I was going to drive there today. I was like, so you're just not giving me the car? And she goes, I can still give you the car, but you just can't drive it to Arizona. And this was after like a long back and forth because I still, at this point, don't have my license. Do you understand how hard it is to rent a car when you don't have your fucking license? I don't have my license. I've gotten all new credit cards, but my license has still not arrived. So I have a picture of my license, I have a picture of my passport, and I have my temporary license. And I just give them all to her, and I was like, this is all I got. And so it was like a long process of getting approved. And then she was like, okay, finally you're approved. I was waiting for like 40 minutes. And then we have this conversation. But you can't drive to Arizona. I'm like, fuck. I say, you're not going to give me the car? She goes, I can give you the car, but you can't drive it to Arizona. And I said, I swear to God, I go, okay, well, I'll still take the car, and I can go somewhere else. That was my excuse that I came up with. I'll just go somewhere else. Just change my plan. In my mind, I'm thinking, well, I can drive to the border and hitchhike from there. I was fucking panicking. If she had asked, I was trying to think as fast as I could. What if she asks how am I gonna get to Phoenix with this car without driving it into Arizona? I was like, if she asks, I'm gonna say that I want the car so that I can just drive to the airport and fly to Phoenix. Like I would rent a car to go to the airport and then return the car 2 days later with 800 miles put on it. And I'm just like, fuck, I got lost. I could not find the airport. This LA exit thing is really fucking everything up. That's a little reference to my Angelinos. But I rented the car, and I guess what? I drove it to Phoenix, and there was no problem. So it totally could. I was kind of worried when she was like, it can't go to Arizona. I was like, fuck, am I going to get, like, pulled over immediately? Or is the car just going to explode? Or is it going to, like a bird scooter when you go into a no-scooter zone? It just goes boop, 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 boop. And I got to push it the rest of the way? But I made it, and it was fine. This weekend of shows in Glendale was pretty cool. It was fine. Really weird. Really weird place to put a comedy club. It was this huge entertainment district, which was like a three-level outdoor mall, and they had like a Dave and Buster's and a mini golf and a bunch of loud bumping clubs with like lines and shopping. And then the comedy store just on the second floor. Tiny little sign. But they got people in there. Lord knows, the early show on Saturday, sold out. Sold out, bitch. My Auntie Deb came to that one. And the Robichauds, if you guys watch Dead Kevin, Jack from Dead Kevin, his parents came to that one. They live in Phoenix. So they came, my aunt came to this Saturday show. And truly, honestly, probably my least favorite show of the entire weekend. Very drunk, very talkative crowd. I struggle to find the balance of doing crowd work without making the crowd feel like it's their time to shine. If I start doing crowd work, sometimes I lose control. And then then people feel like they can talk a lot more. I also, my stand-up, I've been told, and I do agree, is pretty like conversational, where people can't tell if I'm actually doing a written bit or if I'm just like talking and riffing. And I try to mix, you know, go back and forth between the two. But even my written jokes are a little, they seem extemporaneous, which is a word that I know that you probably don't know. But I learned it because someone came up after a show and told me that it seemed extemporaneous. And I said, what does that mean? And it seems like I'm making it up on the spot. And which is great. That is what I'm going for. I want my show to feel like a hang. I want it to feel very casual. And obviously a lot of my jokes are written. Some of it is riffed. Some of it is a little crowd work here and there. But people say to me a lot, and they told me a lot this weekend in Arizona. I got that note a lot from a lot of people. So I guess I was just very, very casual this weekend. Perhaps that's because I was coming off of an exhausting week of shows, getting hammered drunk, and I lost all of my possessions, and I was probably just very tired and very sick. Oh, I was very sick. I got super sick after Davenport. And I was talking to one of the other comics who came out with us. Shout out Catherine Gongaware, talented ass comic, texting her, and I was like, are you sick as fuck? And she was like, yeah, I'm sick as fuck. So Davenport, Iowa parties, and they don't wash their hands. A couple cool notes from the Arizona weekend is a guy, I believe his name is Mike. I wrote it down. I wrote it down. Yeah, a guy named Mike, huge fan. Come and also, after the show, there's like a bunch of bars in this entertainment complex, and I couldn't get into any of them because I had my paper ID. And they were like long lines, like bouncers, fucking stressful places to get into. Then I finally get to the front of the line, and I try to give a paper ID. And a couple places were like, nope. But they pointed me to a lesser-attended bar in the complex that no one wanted to go to. He's like, that place will take you because no one fucking likes that bar. And I thought the bar was fine. It was just no one in there. Kind of lame. Was not a club. But they let me in. And this guy, Mike, came and he gave me a fresh batch of mushrooms. Psychedelic mushrooms, not just for eating. They were for eating. But they were psychedelic mushrooms. Mike, I haven't done them yet. I haven't done them, but I will report back. I did just do a Yosemite trip this past weekend, and the idea was to do all sorts of psychedelics, but I ended up just not sleeping at all, and then that made me feel as goofy as I needed to feel. Yeah, I did a couple little mushies. Who am I kidding? But not yours, Mike, but thank you. And then, second night, I believe it was the second night. No, this was still the Mike night. Hanging out for a while, taking pictures, doing shots, having drinks with this big group of people. There was a birthday party of 16 people that came. And hanging out with them at this the only bar that would let me in. And then, like, 1 a.m., I go into the bathroom. And I had picked a pimple right on my lower lip. Earlier, like before the shows, this was 6 p.m., and there was just this big glob of dried blood on my lower lip, and it had been there, I have to assume, all night. Both shows, meeting the other comics, just scab dried blood from the tiniest little pimple. And I go back out to this group and I go, hey, why did no one tell me I had just a clump of dried blood about the size of a chiclet on my lip? And they were all like, well, we couldn't even, they all knew. Like, what are you going to tell someone that they have dried blood on their face from a pimple? It's clearly not from shaving. You can't really tell someone. You can tell someone if they have like a little something, a glitter, perhaps even a little something in their teeth. Maybe even perhaps a little booger. But yeah, it's really hard to tell someone that they have like dried blood on their face. It's just like something that you don't want to bring up. So, in their defense, I do understand, I suppose. But I was very embarrassed, and I made sure the next night to not have fucking dried blood on my face. Also, so night two, this will be the last story. Not even a story. One of my favorite instances of any shows. Late night, Saturday night show. This guy sits in the front row wearing an IRS shirt. What up, Jake? I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but he's a huge fan, obviously. He's wearing an IRS shirt right in the front row. Front row. And so I met him after. I talked to him during the set, and I met him after and got a picture with him. Yeah, I'm going to include that picture on the Instagram. This dude bought an exact replica of my IRS shirt, which you can just buy, by the way. Someone commented, like, you should sell the IRS shirt as merch. And I'm like, you can just go on Amazon and buy them. I don't own the rights to the IRS, but not yet. Not yet, I don't. And thus ended my run of shows in March. Had all of April off. And folks, I really encourage you to come see me on the road in May. A couple of these shows, for whatever reason, I am creating the ticket link. I had to create the ticket link myself because these places, oh God, my agent's getting a little experimental with some of the shows he's booking and how he's booking them. Some of these places, I don't think they do comedy shows at all. But I have a couple that I have to do the actual Eventbrite for. and I'm seeing ticket sales. Let me show you guys. Well, first of all, the Punchline in Philly is May 19th. So, a little less than a month away at the time of this recording. And they emailed my agent today and said, hey, we've been holding strong at 3 tickets sold for a while now. If Ryan could do a bit of a push. So I'm trying to do a bit of a push. I posted today. If you live or know anyone who lives in the Philadelphia area, they seem upset. They seem upset that I have 3 tickets sold. And as they should. I believe that's a straight door deal, though. So you know, what do they care? I'm not going to make a lot of money. But Owensboro, we're looking at Kentucky. We're looking at 6 tickets sold right now. That's okay. That'll grow. 6 tickets with three weeks to go, we'll be fine. And I know the other comics who are performing, and they're gonna bring people. Not super worried about that one. Cambridge, Ohio, May 17th, 0 tickets sold. 0 tickets. I reached out to this bar, it's at a brewery, and I said, do you have any other comics to perform, or do you want me to try to find people to open? And they just responded, we are in a really rural area with no access or knowledge of any other comics. And I was like, yeah, okay. Alrighty. So, 0 tickets sold. Please help me get the word out in Cambridge, Ohio. That one, if not enough tickets are sold, gonna have to cancel that one. Then I got a couple in California in June, but we got time on those. It's April still. Around the Horn Brewing, 2 tickets sold. Oh, here's this one, May 21st. In Leesburg, Virginia, we're looking at 4 tickets sold. That's pretty close to D.C., though. I'm not super worried about that. That's at least close to a major city where I know that I have some people that like me. I guess I'm really just worried about this Cambridge, Ohio. I don't know where it is. And their response really did not instill a lot of confidence. They're like, we're very rural. We don't know any other comics. I'm like, where did my agent find this show? They seem like they don't really, if they don't know other comics, then I have to assume they don't do comedy shows. Where are you finding, Stu, where are you finding these places? So I don't know. Come see me on the road. I think I'm pretty good on my early May shows. Doing the Badgerland Comedy Fest in Wisconsin. I got a bunch of friends coming to that. Hey, that medium that talked to my dead uncle, and he knew that I was a comedian just from being a medium. I met him in Madison, Wisconsin. He's coming. He's coming to my Janesville, Wisconsin show. He's bringing 10 friends. So thank you. Thank you, Scott. That's a door deal, so I need people to come to that. And guess what? Mauston, Wisconsin the next night? Sold out. Sold out. Fuck you. Des Moines, I do not know. I do not know what's going on with that show or where the tickets are, but come to that. I got Kentucky, Ohio, Philly, Pittsburgh, and a bunch of shows in Virginia. If you're in any of those places, please come or put the word out. A lot of these are straight door deals, and I'm gonna not make a lot of money if no one comes. And that'll be sad, huh? I need money. I sold my car. So hope to see you out on the road. Thank you for listening to episode 21. Oh, I was trying to find, I wanted to add, pump up the volume to my intro music, but I'm scared about putting it on there and not having the rights to it. So I tried to find out how to get the rights to that song, and I really couldn't find it. I ended up just messaging the band Mars on Facebook. Mars has 392 followers. Mars Band, with 2 R's, I hit them up and asked, how can I get the rights to use this for my podcast intro? But the fact that they have 392 followers and like no, and their website doesn't work makes me feel like I could probably just get away with it. I feel like they're not going to sue me for using their song in my intro. So I'll wait a few days. I feel like the next episode I do Might have Pump Up the Volume in there. But until then, all I can do is sing the song. Thanks for listening, folks, and I'll talk to you next time. Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Dance, dance.